awful lot for us to talk about, and I sent out the sheets and intentionally included the last several sources that we had done last time, because I wanted to just review this. I'm not going to review it inside, but this way you have the sources in front of you, you can take a look at it. But we had talked about the question of whether writing includes an act of moving parts of letters close to each other. It was part of our discussion after non-standard acts of writing. So we had distinguished between forming letters from scratch by moving particles together and forming letters by moving already identifiable parts of letters next to each other. Okay, so what we said was, and here I'm going to modify a little bit of the order and the presentation from what I said at the end last time. I think this is a better way to say it. We started with the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, which says that if you write one letter in Tveri and one letter in Tzipori, you are chayav even though they're not next to each other. Distance does not matter. So the machlokes, the debate is, does that apply to letter fragments as well? The Ramah said that distance does not affect fragments of letters. So moving them closer together is not an act of writing. Even if it's, in other words, if I write a fragment here, and a fragment here, and a fragment here, and a fragment there, so that I end up writing two letters just in pieces, I am liable, I'm chayav, because I actually wrote letters. That's the stringent side of the Ramah's ruling. But the lenient side of the Ramah's ruling is that if I take already existing parts of letters and I put them together, I haven't done anything because they were already written before Shabbos. I've done nothing wrong. The Mamre Mordechai and the Avnei Nezer reject that statement. They reject that view of the Gemara in Shabbos, and they say the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about whole letters. Moving whole letters together or moving them apart is not an act of ksiva. But for joining parts of letters, absolutely, you're going to have a problem of kosev and of mochik. And the poskim tend to be concerned about that view of the Mamre Mordechai, the view of the Avnei Nezer. So the Orchos Shabbos and Rabbi Riviat say that therefore I am not allowed to assemble letters by moving particles together, and even if they're not locked in place. So in other words, I take Cheerios and I line them up, right? That was source number Vav on the sheets that you have. They said if I line up Cheerios to make a letter, I'm actually in trouble. And the Orach HaShabbos says explicitly that this is going to be the view of Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach as well. That's the position taken by the Orach HaShabbos. Actually, bring it in here.
Dalet.
Yeah, in Dalet. Thank you. I brought it there. About Rosh Hashanah and Rav Moshe, normally when it comes to moving parts of a picture together, they have to be locked in place. Nonetheless, it's not the case here. That's the position that the Orach HaShabbos takes about their view. However, I don't think that's what the position of Rosh Hashanah actually is. Because when you look at Shemira Shabbos Kehilchos HaTezayin Chav Gimel, which I brought you in Source Hay, he says explicitly, Mutar l'sachek v'mischakei osios v'tzirim shebehem manichim osios o chelkei osios. Tmuna, by the way, zeliad ze. He says you are allowed to play games with these, whatever they are, letter games or picture games, in which you place letters or portions of letters side by side, as long as, he continues to say, v'ushalo yikbas hamilo atzatzmuna v'miskeres, as long as you don't put them into a frame. And they don't join together. So it could be that the Orach HaShabbos reads this line in Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa as where the fragments are already legible as partial letters. They're not really fragments. They're already partial letters, and that's why it's not a problem of writing a letter here. But it doesn't sound like it. The Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa didn't say that. It also could be that he thinks that Rav Neuvert and the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa is breaking with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach on this. However, I think the earth is likely to split before that's an acceptable read. You know, he may disagree on some point, but he will have to say so. He's not just going to throw this out there and not put in a footnote, Delo ke, Moreno for Rabbeinu, etc. I would sooner see that happen in the Nishmas Avram than I would see that happen in the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa.
If it's Dunya L'Mishkan, there's no key. I mean, those things that were engraved in the Krashim or the...
Not engraved. Drawn.
Drawn, okay.
Yeah.
There definitely was a key into that ksiva. Here you put Cheerios. So how is it Dunya L'Mishkan if you're just putting two Cheerios?
Right. So it seems like, and this is where I'm going with this, it seems like, according to the view that one is chayav for doing this, according to the view that one is liable for putting the Cheerios together, there's a distinction to be drawn, no pun intended, between making a letter and making a word. When it comes to making a word, then there is this view that it has to be locked in place. The letters have to be locked in place in order to form a word. But when it comes to forming a letter, they're arguing, you form a letter just by making the shape of a letter. Even if there's nothing to make those particles stay. I'm not saying this because I have a source that says this. I'm saying this because that's the only way I can read what they're saying. That's the only way I can look at the Aruch HaShamas and not start laughing. But the view of Rosh Shlomo Zalman and the view as well of the Igros Moshe, as we're going to see when we get to the pre-show about Ksav Sheino Miskayim, about non-durable script, is that there is a requirement that it be durable. There is a requirement that it be in a frame. And I say durable, I don't mean, you know, lasting forever, but it has to be in a frame, it has to be held in place, and that's their shita, whereas the Aruch HaShabbos and Rabbi Ribiat seem to disagree. Yeah?
Is the issue the frame or the fact that it's holding together?
The fact that it's holding together. So where they lock into each other, it's also
a problem.
Correct.
It's not that
they say that explicitly.
Surface that has to be on.
That is correct. It is not about the surface. If you look at that Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, there's a ha'ara at the end of the line, the one that I brought in. Hey, I didn't bring the ha'ara here. But on the words, Mischaber Mumishadkin Zebazeh, in the footnote he says, because this is like a miscarriage also.
So I mean, not familiar with like Lego, because Lego isn't a miscarriage, but it's locked together.
Well, Lego, we have other. That's Bona. You can go here. Rabbi Ziering spent a few weeks on Bona, and you can have that discussion there. But that's what's going on here in terms of making letters versus yes, and making. And by the way, it might be Tzuvayet. Okay. So that's in terms of forming letters from scratch by moving particles. You have one view that says you made a letter, even if there was no permanence to it at all, even if there's nothing holding it in place, and that's the position of the Aruch HaShabbos, Rabbi Ribiat, the Maamar Mordechai, the Avnei Nezer will take that view as well. Well, let me say it differently. I'm sorry. The Rama will say fragments of letters don't matter bichlal. I don't care. I don't care about your fragments of letters. I don't care if you put together, you know, individual Cheerios, and it doesn't bother me. The Maamar Mordechai and the Avnei Nezer say no, fragments do matter. And then within the Maamar Mordechai and the Avnei Nezer, we will have a machlokas as to whether you actually need to have a frame or not. Rabbi Ribiat, or Hashab is saying no frame is needed for you to be liable. And the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa here, and I believe also the position of Rav Moshe, as we'll see, is that that if there is no frame, it's not a letter.
Yeah. Can you clarify what you mean by frame exactly?
Something that holds the pieces where they are.
Okay.
So if they interlock like a jigsaw puzzle would be one example. If you have the Scrabble board type of a thing where there's a box and you stick them into the box and now they're held together, that would also qualify.
Okay.
That's all in terms of particles. What about forming letters from already identifiable parts of letters? So I have something which, if you were to look at this, you know this is an F. It's just not full. You just have a little bit. You know, like when you get into Sefer Torah sometimes, they have to call the kid to look at it. Does this look like the letter it's supposed to look like? So there's a little bit of ink, but not sufficient ink to really call that a whole letter. So on one pole, you have the Rama, and the Rama says distance doesn't matter. On the other pole, you have the Maamar Mordechai and the Avnei Nezer, who say still a problem, even though the fragments were legible. But here, Rav Moshe adds a leniency. Rav Moshe's leniency is to say, if the fragments are already identifiable as parts of letters, and that's what you see in Zion, if the fragments are already identifiable as parts of those letters, there's no tikkun involved in joining them. That's his position, and therefore there's no erasure in separating them. Two common applications of this. Number one, aligning two parts of a torn page so that you can read the words that are formed when the fragments are juxtaposed. So the Rama is clearly going to say mutter. Because why not? Unless he intends to read the letters, then the Aruch HaShabbos says the Rama will not be okay with this. And the position of Rav Moshe is going to be to say that if the partial letters were really not legible, So now, putting them together, juxtaposing them is actually tikkun of the letters. Then he's going to have an issue, but otherwise he will not. The Urcha Shabbos was very surprised. The Urcha Shabbos said, "I don't understand. Reb Moshe is lenient when it comes to the paroches that has the ayin that's split between the two sides. I don't see that that's a problem though, because you're not closing the paroches in order to read the letters." Right? And that was a key part of this conversation. The other application of this, and it's the very last thing that we did on Friday, is breaking a cake that has letters on it, cutting through the actual letters. So according to the Rama, this is fine, because distancing parts of letters from each other is not erasure. And as long as the partial letters are legible, we can also apply Reb Moshe's leniency. And that's all going to be good. But we do have a problem, because there's a Mordechai who quotes the Maharam Rutenberg who says that breaking a cake with letters on it is mochek. That is an act of erasure. So we have two answers. They're very important, these two answers. The Ramah's answer is that in the Maharam's case, you're eating the cake. So you destroy the parts of the letters. It isn't just that I move the parts of letters apart. I actually destroyed them. So of course it's no good. That's erasure. What more do you want from me? The Taz is... Oh, we didn't bring the cookie. Did you bring the cookie? With the Mazel Tov on it? You didn't bring it. All right. We had a cookie on the Shalom Zachar with Mazel Tov written on it. We could have brought it in and broken it up. Okay, move the parts apart. Together. The Taz gave a different answer. The Taz's answer is that in the case of the cake, the pieces were part of a single physical item. And it isn't only that they were near each other and now they're being moved apart. The breaking of a single physical item is more significant than simply distancing. Practical application of this is brought by the Urcha Shabbos in his Berurei Halacha, and I brought it on the sheet, I believe. Yeah, I can't see what I did. Oh, I see what I did. Never mind. The practical application is brought in the Urcha Shabbos in Yud Beis, thank you, is going to be tearing open a package and cutting the letters. According to the Ramah, I'm fine. I didn't destroy the letters. I didn't destroy the fragments. However, according to the Taz, I split a single physical item, and therefore it's going to be a problem. That's what we got through last time. Yeah.
I understand. Isn't the point of mochek that you're preparing a surface for writing?
So right. So we have to
load the surface because you ate the cake. What?
Right. So this may be mochek derabanan. No, it's not mochek amanas lichtov. That would seem to be. I think that would be the answer. That it's still a derabanan.
This would be just considered kilkul.
Right. So we have to talk about that on the day that I record a shiur about mochek, because I know it's not going to be today. Yeah, we have to talk about this question of what is the status of mochek, which is purely destructive.
What was the one just before the Taz?
The Ramah. The Ramah's answer was that when you're eating the cake, you destroy the parts of the letters, and that's what the Maharam was talking about. Not simply separating them, but actually demolishing them.
So you wouldn't have that problem tearing the letter on the
letters. Exactly.
So one guy cuts the cake, and one guy eats the cake.
Who's chayav? Yeah, so according to the Ramah, the one who ate the cake is chayav. Except that we have to have a separate discussion about whether eating counts as mochek. In other words, maybe eating, derech achila, is somehow not an act of mochek. We have to get to that when we talk about food and letters, which again is going to be on the recorded shear.
But when the guy's eating the cake, the letters are separated already.
It doesn't matter. According to the Ramah, separated parts of letters are still parts of letters.
So it's the last guy who's high.
Correct.
The guy who's actually doing the eating. So the guy who's
assuming eating is a problem. If eating is not a problem, then no one's high.
No, but according to how do you say, to get rid of it, right?
The beer?
No.
Just because.
Yeah, the demolisher, right?
Yeah.
Is the eater.
Correct.
The guy cutting it didn't do anything wrong.
Correct.
So you can do that
all day long.
All day long.
Yep.
It brings new meaning to the phrase, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Correct. This assumes that opening the package is fine, which was, again, something we already discussed in my shiur on Korea, Rabbi Ziering's stuff on Bona and Soser. So there's a lot that you can download and confuse yourself.
So there could be two malachas there going on.
Yes, potentially. That's fine. We're good with that. And it's Asherwood. No, okay. So third case, right? We now talked about forming words, forming letters by putting particles side by side. And we've talked about moving fragments together or separating the fragments of letters where they're identifiable, whatever, right? Now we have a third case. Forming words by moving whole letters near each other. Like the clear-cut case in Tveria and Tzipori. So I have a case in which there's a page in a book that's torn. The letters are entirely intact. I want to read the word, not by jumping back and forth, but by putting them together. Or I'm going to tear open a package and I will separate two letters. So according to the Mamar Mordechai and the Avnei Nezer, now I'm fine. Right? Because they understood the Gemara and Shabbos to be about full osios, full letters. The Orach HaShabbos brings this in Yud Gimel. He brings the discussion here. I'm going to do it outside just in the interests of time. But the Orach HaShabbos there, Rabbi Ribiad as well, say, look, the Ramah is going to be fine, right? The Ramah for sure is going to be fine. He was fine with fragments. He's certainly going to be fine with whole letters. The Taz obviously will be fine as well. However, the Taz is actually going to be stricter than the Mamar Mordechai and the Ayinazer. Because the Taz doesn't like it if they're together on a fixed item and then you separate them apart. When it comes to tearing the package between the letters, the Taz is actually going to be more strict. Because he says if you take a single physical item and you separate it, you're liable. You follow? So in this way, the Taz is actually going to be stricter, just like the Kate. In practice, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, which I brought you in, Source Yedalit, quotes of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, to permit cutting a cake between the letters, and the Orach HaShabbos is lenient as well in Ha'arach of Zion. Okay? Are we clear cut? That's the case of the whole letters. Two last notes regarding issues of writing, and then we're going to move into defining text. Writing which is mekalkel the surface on which one writes, which destroys the surface on which one writes, graffiti, right, is still called an act of writing. The Rambam says that explicitly in Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tes. The second item I wanted to just mention is that there's an interesting case which everybody says is mutter, but it's not clear why. And that is what I brought you as the last source in this section, source Tesvav. Mutter lelech ben na'al. You're allowed to walk on Shabbos in a shoe, shagelik, shagabe, sol, yasach, hakukim, tzirima, osios, which has letters or pictures on the bottom of it, which are engraved in it, and therefore you're going to now form the reverse pattern on the ground. Even though these images are now going to be formed in the ground. So everybody says it's mutter. The Orach HaShabbos says it's psik resha de lo nichale with two derabanans. He calls it lo nichale. It's really lo nicha and lo ichbas discussion, but it's a psik resha. It's a guaranteed result, which is bad. Right? But I don't care at all about this, like you're saying with Namaskar, but I don't care at all about this, and it's not mitzkayim, it doesn't endure. If it really would endure, it wouldn't have made the mark in the first place. Right? Your surface is soft enough that you're able to engrave it by walking. Ostensibly, that means that everybody else who walks there is also going to make marks and it's going to be obliterated, and it's kilachar yad. Right? This is not a normal means of writing. Stamping is, but not stamping with your shoe.
And wet cement might be different.
Wet cement would definitely be different. The Chazon Ish is not going to like this, because the Chazon Ish does not buy into the whole heter of psik reshe with two derabanans. And so maybe the Chazon Ish would walk away from this, so to speak. But other arguments that are brought to be lenient is that this writing has no chashivus, it has no significance to it, and also the letters are reversed when they are imprinted, so they lack the form of a letter.
It doesn't help you if it's a picture.
Yeah, it doesn't help you if it's a picture, but it doesn't help you if it's a letter A, capital letter A. I mean, you know, that's not necessarily true. Or what if it's reversed on the bottom of your shoe? Now you have a problem.
I think it's a little nifle because it ruins the tread. I mean, the shoes are built in a way to best plant the foot on the ground or maintain contact.
Yeah.
It's clearly all these imprints ruin that. But they ruin it in such a small way the company doesn't care. And they want to have their name there. But in regards to how you walk, it's Lo Nichole.
But each individual imprint is microscopic in its impact, and therefore I'm not going to care.
Okay, so it's microscopic Lo Nichole.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's not Lo Nichole.
Okay.
Otherwise, every single time I do something that is Nichole, it has a microscopic erosion of the tool I'm using or whatever it is. I'm not sure I would go with that.
What about over time you're erasing the letters by walking on them?
Yeah, okay.
I'm erasing the letters that are on the ground, or I'm erasing the letters on the shoe. Again, I'm not, because from one time I step to the next, there is no appreciable distinction in the quality of the letter on the bottom of my shoe.
But eventually.
But never, no. Never between one and the next. There will be no threat of the... Go talk to Zeno and his paradox. There is no moment where you step down and you say, uh-oh, I can't see the one on the bottom of my shoe anymore. I guarantee you, go to Consumer Reports where they test things 100,000 times, right, and ask them to test the shoe and have someone look at it each time. I take a picture of it each time. And you let me know at what point there is where you say, I could read this before and now it's stepped down and now I can't read it. I don't believe that there is such a thing. I think that you adjust as it erodes. And for that reason, you can always see it, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Lo Nichole, what's the second one?
It's Lo Nichole, and it's not Mitzkayim, it doesn't endure, right? The letter in the sand is right. Not going to endure, and it's Kelah Chariad. That's not the normal way of writing. Okay. So defining text, what constitutes a letter? Any meaningful symbol for communication. Right? The classic Mishnah in Source Tezayin, Akosev Shtei Osios, you write two letters, whether you write with your right or your left, we talked about, whether they are of the same letter or another letter is another point, which we're going to have to discuss a little bit. Any ink that I use, Bechol Loshon, any language. Any language, Rashi writes in Source Yitzayin, Bechol Loshon Shal Kol Ksavim, any type of text, V'gufan Shal Kol Uma V'uma, the alphabet that any language uses. And as I state, the Rambam in Source Yichtes, Akosev Bechol Ksav, Bechol Loshon Chayiv, it doesn't matter what text, it doesn't matter what language, and that's what we paskin. Rabbi Riviat says in Source Yitzes, Hey Nira Muchach Midin Dekosev Bechaloshim Chayav, V'chein V'Rashi Sham. He's commenting on the idea that it applies even to punctuation marks. It's not just letters, but anything that's going to communicate a message. And then he says, Shelo Hizkir L'Chalikim Ba'oso Makom O Medina Mishtamshim O Mevinim Ba'oso Ksav Lashon. Even if people locally don't read this language. So I learn a Chinese character, and I go to some place where nobody reads Chinese, and I write the Chinese character, I'm Chayev. He says, B'chol Gavni Mikri Shem Ksiva. It's called Ksiva no matter what. And not only that, but in Source Chav, Rabbi Riviat goes further, and he says, "Avagav de lachora mashaaser reshima b'karshay mishkan hayadif." Is that the one that I wanted? Hayadif me reshima b'tziporn b'sseif. Read the last time I said, "Yeah, it is." At first, it doesn't seem relevant, but the part that he continues with is what's relevant. He's talking there about making a mark in a book as you're reading it on Shabbos. Take your fingernail because there's a spot there. You notice a mistake in the book, and you want to just make a mark there so that you'll note it for yourself. I talked to you about this the other day. Just to be able after Shabbos, you go back and you'll correct it. So, or the next time you read it, you'll know that it's there. Leave aside Hachana discussions. So he says, making the mark in the Mishkan was worse than making a mark in your book with your fingernail. Deilu hasam haisa reshima simon larabin, because there, when you made the mark on the krashim, on the boards, it was a sign that the community could understand. Shekol echadaya maybe kavanaso does havi ka'os. Everybody could recognize it, and therefore it's like a letter. Aval hacha gabe roshema la sefer, when you make your note on this in the book, ein kavanas reshima muvana la oso sharasham velo larabim, it's only recognizable to you. So what Rabbi Riviat says there is it's less bad than the Mishkan case. However, even though it's less bad than the Mishkan case, because it's only understandable to you, he still says Aser.
Chayev?
So I'm not sure if he says Chayev. He may just say
Aser. Your own language, your own character, that no one else can read.
Right. So it's certainly Aser. The only question is Del Reis or Del Rabbanan. That I'm not sure. He also says this includes Morse code, and that goes back to the initial Chuvos regarding using a telegraph on Shabbos. If you take a look at Chaf Aleph, the Show Lumeshiv, Mashakasa Benyan telegraph in Mutter B'Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom Lahatir, God forbid, we are not allowing you to do that. Umashakasa came in the Davar Miskayim, and as far as your point that it doesn't endure, Chalila Chalila Lahatir, Shari Oses Simanios Chayav. This is when you make signs, you are Chayav. V'Roshem Gam. Also, when you make marks that are meaningful, the kanu siman v'yasa aus mizeh v'lo gar mino trikon. It's no different from the no trikon case, in which I make one symbol and the symbol carries the message of a word. So I made symbols with my Morse code. He doesn't even address the enomiskayim part of it. He's done with the enomiskayim part of it. His point is that whatever marks are made on paper.
He's talking about writing Morse code, not.
Yes, he's talking about writing Morse code. That's why I don't understand why you're bringing in a kimedena davar miskayim.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what that's about. Unless you're going to tell me that what he means is not the writing. What he means is actually when you're sending the signal. You made a mark that doesn't endure, but it communicated a message to somebody else, and therefore he holds that that's already an issue. Right, so the Marsham, Gimel Reish Tavei also has an issue on this.
They listen with headphones, so what's Mashmiah called outside?
Yeah. But that's not, that only solves Mashmiya Kol. That doesn't help with anything else. You've communicated a message to the person who's
Mashmiya Kol. It's Kosev, right? It's Kosev for Kol.
So what right. about talking?
But no one else holds that way.
Yeah. Yeah, but the I have to go back to this Shor Lameshiv, and I remember I went through this a bunch of times trying to figure out what exactly he was talking about. It's a small piece at the end of a much longer tshuva that has nothing to do with this at all. The but I'm not sure now if he's talking about writing Morse code or if he's talking about sending Morse code.
So when you do sign language, you're making signs in the air. I mean, how far are you?
Yeah, well, that's no, they actually do address this, and they say, Musa, don't worry. They so I don't want to do the following piece of this at length, but I want to at least mention it. A lot depends when it comes to defining writing. It depends on what your intent is. And did you mean to write this as the sum of your act of writing? And this comes up in the Gemara in Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, where it says that somebody who intended to write a letter Ches, and instead wrote two Zions, is Chayav Ir Lo Boiziyune. They didn't need the tagin, the crowns on top. There's a major debate about what you're talking about. I'm only chayav if I write like you write in a Sefer Torah? Like, what are you talking about? So the Ritva explains this is not about writing in a Torah as opposed to other writing. Rather, it's about what your intent was. If you intended to write a letter with the crowns, with the tagin on it, and you didn't do so, then that's not a complete act of writing. If you didn't intend to write it with the tagin, then it is a... I didn't bring you the Ritva on the sheet. This section I didn't bring the source on. I felt my sheet was long enough. The intent matters. The Bi'ur Halacha uses this to explain a Rashi. When the Mishnah said, HaKosev Shtei Osios, one who writes two letters is Chayav, Rashi wrote, like if you write Aleph Aleph. Even though the Gemara explicitly says that one who writes Aleph Aleph is Potter. So what happened? So the Bi'ur Halacha explains that where you intended to write Aleph Aleph from the start, then writing Aleph Aleph is Chayav. As opposed to where you didn't, generally speaking, writing the same letter twice, and it's not a word, is not going to gain me liability. Not at least D'oraisa. As we're going to see below also, intent to erase may also be important in disqualifying an act as writing. Meaning, we're going to talk about the case where I write something, but I intend to erase it right afterwards. According to the Minchas Asher, that may actually disqualify it as an act of writing D'oraisa. As well,
the doctors in Israel, right? They write the things and it erases.
So, well, right, that's where we're going to talk about this. Okay. The Or Zeruah has a well-known statement, which everybody discards, and then it gets resurrected, that non-Hebrew languages are only a dirabanan. The Yerushalmi, if you look at Source Chav Beis, says, Ma'u b'chol lashon, what do you mean when you say in any language? Afilu aleph alpha. Aleph alpha. So Hebrew or Greek count. So the Or Zeruah says, other languages are only derabanan, they're exer derabanan, unless we use Hebrew or Greek. So how will the Or Zeruah explain, you know, I mean, it said b'chol lashon, like the words b'chol lashon mean any language, they don't mean Hebrew or Greek.
It's even one letter of Greek. One letter of Greek.
Right. So Rav Kook in Ezra's Kohen Samachay suggests that the Or Zeruah explains b'chol lashon as the words of other languages expressed in Hebrew letters. Like, in other words, like a standard tshuva of the Igros Moshe. That's the way he explains it. This view, though, of the Or Zeruah makes it inexplicably into the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, Chav Gimel. Dealing with a separate issue, the issue of buying a house in Israel on Shabbos, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, you can take the shtar into the non-Jewish courts in order to fulfill Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, leave aside whether that's a mitzvah or not, and the Ramah writes, Shalahem, you go to their courts, the Ksav Shalom, in their writing, Deino Asur, Rakmi Derabbanan. It's only Derabbanan and it's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the parentheses, he tells you, yeah, and that's after all the position of the Or Zeruah. So the Chasim Sofer says, you gotta be kidding me. The Mishnah Berurah says, you really gotta be kidding me. In Chav Dalet, he says, Ein l'shumakom v'shas v'chol ha-poskim cholkin al zeh. So if you are not cholik, you're not a posik. The ditto in the Aruch HaShulchan, in Chaf Hei, he says, Mitzvah Rabba L'mochko Min Asfarim. Not a Shabbos. The Kalamit HaPokrim Taloi B'zeh HaBonezin HaRabim Ve'in L'zeh Shum Makom B'din V'chaz V'shalom Lomar Kein. So I had to bring you Source Chavav. Rabbi Dr. Avram Sofer Avram and Nishma Savram says that Rosh Shlomo Zalman was willing to rely on the Or Zarua if you're also using disappearing ink in a case of need, like the doctor case. So you have the Tzomet device, the Shavet, that writes, and then the letters will disappear, hopefully not before you use the writing and had a chance to copy it over. So I asked him this question in Source Chavav. A physician is at home on Shabbos. He's visited by a Jewish neighbor who has fever and a cough and seems to need antibiotics for pneumonia. The physician would like to provide his prescription, but wants to know the best way to do it. So I asked him, is it better to write it in English, to email the pharmacy, or to call the pharmacy by phone? That was my question. There's more in this communication. Don't deduce anything from here. I just brought you the parts that were directly relevant for the shiur. So Rabbi Dr. Avram Sofer Avram wrote back, it will be better halachically to speak on the telephone than write an email prescription. However, I wrote that because of the possibility, however remote, that a verbal prescription may be misunderstood, name of drug or dosage, v'hayu dvar me'olam, it will be better to send an email. Writing in English according to the Ramah and many poskim is also derabanan. Provided that the computer is on, the writing is kept to the minimum. For example, no periods, the back of the finger is used to type. He wants you to use a shinui in the typing. But That's the position that he takes. And the truth is, the Abia Omer brings poskim who support the view of the Ozara. Abia Omer Gimel Chaf Gimel. He brings it. So we do have such a thing. We do have such a concept. Writing is not only
Then he says the Stechemet also.
The Stechemet has it correct.
That's weird.
Nope, doesn't make it less weird at all. But does make it more mutter.
I'm not totally convinced.
Text isn't only about letters. It also includes pictures that are not part of a language per se. In other words, not pictograms, but pictures. Pictures are a tolda of writing. We have that elsewhere. We talked about Roshim. The Rambam brings it as well. The Perush Mishnayos notes, even though he disagrees, in Chav Zayin, that there were those who actually had this roshem for pictures as a separate av malacha. There's an av malacha of roshem, there's an av malacha of kosev. It depends on how you go back to that Mishnah that we saw, which I'm not going into here. This will include placing a fingerprint intentionally for ID. I'm not talking about fingerprint to unlock a device where there's no mark, but I'm talking about placing a fingerprint for identification purposes. So in Chavches, Rabbi Ribia notes it there, but we have it in many svar. What if you make a picture that has no meaning at all? You make a line. It's not a letter. It's not a picture. So Mishabur says, okay, so you violated the Rabbanan. Yashar Kalach. That's Chavches and Lamed. He doesn't like it.
You said Chavches is not talking about engaging a door or something with a finger?
Correct. I believe not, because you didn't make a mark. You may have other issues, but there's no mark that's been made. You just put your finger in front of a scanner, and the scanner read it. The fact that I had to press to the surface is only so that the scanner can read it, not to make a mark. It's not reading the grease on the scanner, I think. Maybe I misunderstand the technology.
It's reading the picture.
It's reading the picture, but it's a picture that the scanner makes. It's not, in other words, my point isn't that. My point is that when we say putting your fingerprint down is kosev.
I mean, I think on a phone, I don't think it's a camera. I don't know exactly how it works.
Pressure.
It's pressure, or it's electromagnetic, something.
Something. It's,
yeah. Really?
It's a camera in the phone. Like
it's not a laser scan. It's not a laser scan of the pattern in your finger? All right, now we need to investigate. We have to investigate how the fingerprint scanner works.
I'm pretty sure the words hear me, though. Like he's talking about it.
Oh, unquestionably, Rabbi Ribiot is not talking about a fingerprint scanner just because he did this before those became popular devices.
There is an electrical trim. I mean, it's still not taking a picture.
I can't believe like this one.
Okay, now we need to know how. We need to know more about the technology.
Station booked on certain charges. You may not put your fingerprint in on
charges. Right. Good luck. You'll be booked for another charge. That's all resisting arrest.
The
answer is don't violate a crime.
There's a lot about that.
Yeah.
The police. There's a policy paper in Israel.
Right.
On
you have it from when you did the police in Israel.
Yeah. But it was written by what's his name? By Rav Rosen years ago. Mm-hmm. On how do you take fingerprints or can you fingerprint on Travis?
But Rav Rosen wrote it in the context of how do you protest in the event that you're protesting on Shabbos. against disengagement. Or not.
Yeah.
Okay. The two letters requirement. So we have the Mishnah in Shabbos that says you're only chayav if you make two letters. So the Milchas Asher in Shabbos Pehei Aleph notes that there are two ways to read the shear of two letters. One way you could read it is that you're only chayav for making a word, and one letter is not a word. Leave aside the notrikon discussion. Making one letter is not a word. The way he presents it is it's like a kiran hanacha on Shabbos, right? Hotzah, transport on Shabbos requires that you pick it up and that you put it down somewhere. If you just pick it up, you didn't do the malacha of transport. You didn't do hotzah. Not until you put it down. Maybe yasser anyway, don't do it. But the deoraisa requires a kiran hanacha. The deoraisa requires one letter and a second letter. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is to say two letters are like any other shear for the Malachas of Shabbos, right? I'm only liable for Hotzah if I transport a useful amount of stuff. I'm only liable for kosher if I make a certain kind of a knot. I'm only liable for kosev if I make two letters. Two letters is the shear of ksiva. Nafkamina between them, simple nafkamina, is chatzi shear. Right? If you write just one letter, is it a d'oraisa because you did half of the shear, or is it nothing because that's not what this is? You didn't do an act of writing. So which is it? So the Milchas Asher brings the Magen Avos trying to support the first approach, based on the fact that our Mishnah mentioned Hakosev Shtei Osios, and it doesn't do that for most other Malachos. If it actually says Hakosev Shtei Osios, that must mean that it's inherent in the Malacha and not simply a shear. However, the Rishonim seem to take the other approach. And I brought you examples of this from the Rambam. Right? The Rambam writes, where did I put this? I've now lost the Rambam. In Lamed Aleph, sorry. Lamed Aleph. The Rambam writes in Perakid Aleph, Halacha Tes Halacha Yud, Hakosev Shtei Osios Chayev. If you write two letters, you're Chayev. But then he says, Hakosev Os Kfula Pa'amayim Ushem Echad. If you write the same letter twice, A-A, right? So he says, if it's a name, meaning it's a meaningful word, and he gives you examples, then chayav. But only if it's a meaningful word. If I write two letters that are the same, and they have no meaning as a word, I am potter. If I write two different letters, then even if they have no meaning as a word, I'm going to be chayav. So he says, so the Milchas Asher draws a conclusion from that. He says, that means it's not really about making a word. It's simply, the shir ksiva is when you write two letters. Then why did the Rambam do this with two of the same letters? Ask every achron in the book. You can find articles galore on this issue. But also, as we discussed earlier, the Rambam writes that kocheles, right, using the eyeshadow is an act of writing. We discussed that in the shir on Friday. But there's no word at all. The Meiri, that's what I brought next, tells you explicitly his position in source Lamed Gimel, in which he says that writing one letter is a problem of chatzi shir. He's giving you examples of chatzi shir, and one of the examples is kigon, kasevos achas. You wrote one letter, so he clearly believes that. And the Rama, in the Tshuva that we've quoted before, distinguishes between shir shtei osios and the mahus hamalacha. He says, "Ein lomar mi debayin and shtei osios shma minar de mishkan shtei osios hayu." Doesn't have to be that in the Mishkan there were two letters, just because we have shir shtei osios. Does that eino? He says, "Da shiur in the lomdu mi mishkan rak inyan hamalacha." He says the shir doesn't come from the Mishkan. Only the nature of the malacha comes from the Mishkan. Parentheses: the Milchas Asher doesn't like that idea. However, the main point in bringing this is the Ramah clearly believes that it's shir shtei osios. It's not that it's inherent in the malacha that you're writing two letters. And so we have, in fact, the Mishnah Berurah rules in Shin Mem Chav Beis Dalet that writing one letter is chatzi shir. I am not doing the long discussion of what the Rambam was doing with two of the same letter versus two different letters, just because there are too many other things that we need to discuss. What about pictures? One picture or two pictures? So this is weird. The Bir Halacha.
Let's say a guy wrote a pay and a top, and if a guy comes at the end and puts a ches, so do we? Will he, like, you know, the last step up in the bar?
Well, where did I do my pay and my top? On the same material or just different materials?
The first guy wrote it. That's not a word.
I'm the first guy.
Yeah, you did a pay.
I wrote a pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what?
Tough.
That is, first of all, it is a word. It's pas.
Oh, pas, you're right. Okay. Right? So if we can find an example where the first two letters didn't form a word, but the third guy, the second guy, added a letter. So do we say to him, now he's chayv on all
three? So wait. Are they on the same material and the
yeah,
different materials? So you're saying it's mechusar kreva, and therefore, even though I wrote two letters, because it is a maisa kreva. Well, not about that. My point is to say that according to the Rambam, and this is what we hold, if I write two different letters, even if they don't make a word, I am chayav.
That's really chayav.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't think of a word now, but let's say there's two letters. Let me make life easier.
Yeah. If I write one letter, and somebody else comes along and adds another letter, Rabbi Yaros is talking about this on Friday, the other guy is already chayav.
Second guy.
Yeah, he's mashon.
You know what I mean, because he's mashon.
Yeah. So there's already a liability. Okay. So what about regarding pictures? Is it one picture or two pictures? So look at the Bir Halacha in Lamed Vav. Ube'inyan roshem rishamim, regarding making marks, which we understand as non-letter marks. Hetachnu l'shona Rambam, we quote the Rambam, umakor humi rishalmi, hatzar tzura harishon chayav mishum kosei v'asheni chayav mishum tzoveya. He quotes you the Yerushalmi, that when you make your picture, you're liable for kosei, for making the picture, and the second one is going to be chayav for tzoveya, for coloring. Ubayura, what does that mean? Sharishon rasham es hatzur ba'avar. What happened was, the first guy used lead to draw something. He used a pencil. V'chiyah gavner, whatever, you know, something like that. V'asheni hevir atzeva olav. And then the second guy came along and colored it in. Ulaka harishon chayav rak mishum kosev avur haroshem tmuna sha'asa. So the first one is kosev, because he made a picture. V'asheni shevir atzeva v'makom haroshom ein rak tzeveya be'alma. The second guy is just coloring it. V'kavanas haram v'amnami sha'asas haroshem sha'at tmuna k'moshkasev k'derach sha'tzeyarim roshem. Fine. Vihine, lo beir harambam behedjan bayinan shtei tziros davka, kamo ba'osios, o de bezeh chayev afilu ba'achas, de chashiva bifnei atzmo. You can look at it either way. The Rambam didn't say one picture or two pictures, you can look at it both ways. You could say a picture is like a letter, and therefore you need two pictures, or you can say, no, the picture is significant. If I am holding two letters because they're significant, maybe one picture, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Maybe it's only 2% of a picture. And he says, from the Yerushalmi, which talks about me making a picture and somebody else coloring it in, it sounds like it means one picture. So it sounds like just one picture is significant, and indeed that's the position taken by the Orach HaShavas, is that it's that one picture is indeed significant. The Orach HaShavas, I brought you in Lamed Zayin, HaMetzayer Tziur. He didn't say anything about two pictures. However, there is this Taz in Lamed Ches, and I'm going to leave this to you to figure out, because I read this Taz over and over and over again, and I don't understand what he's talking about. I flat out don't understand this Taz, so I leave it to you as an exercise. Does he mean one picture, or does he mean two pictures? If anybody can explain this to me at some point, I'll give you some chametz, perhaps. I'm not clear on what this Taz is doing. I'm sorry. This also brings me back to my question from Shabbos that I've already discussed with Adam, I discussed with Rabbi Ziering, and that is the Settlers of Catan question. So, for anyone who's not familiar with this game, but I saw kids playing it on Shabbos, you have, in the middle, you have shapes. They're, I don't know if they're octagonal, hexagonal, whatever they are. And each shape has a picture on it that is significant in its own right. Picture of wheat, a picture of water, whatever it is. And the way you set up your board is that you put these, you juxtapose these pictures in different patterns, and that makes your game board. The pictures are not locked into each other. They do not make one big joint picture. It's not like you look at them now, it's like a puzzle and they form a big picture. It's not like that. Each picture is independent. Then, around the pictures, which are now together in their shape, you put pieces that actually lock into each other. Not to form a pattern, but it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Those pictures that are on the pieces that are on the outside. So my question is, the pictures are not read together to make a greater picture. They don't communicate some kind of verbal message, but they function together. They make your game possible together. I don't know if I'm looking at Kosev. I don't know if I'm looking at Bone. I don't know what I'm looking at here, but my sense in looking at it is this is a problem. I think Rabbi Ziering and Adam disagree with me and do not find this to be a problem.
Modern art that's abstract.
Well, then it does communicate a message. We've just not been smart enough or sophisticated enough to know it. But at least to the person who made the picture, it communicates the...
Blank and...
Right.
Jackson
Sorry, Adam, what?
Presence.
So I don't don't know.
It's a candidate.
I don't know. It seems to me that you shouldn't be able to set this board up on Shabbos, but I can't say that definitively. I don't know. Okay. Must the text be durable?
Now you have your
I have my
chumra.
I have my novel chumra. That made it.
Now you can introduce whatever kula you want.
I don't know how it's going to work out to try and ask your Settlers of Catan.
I'm not. I just set it up before Shabbos. That's all. Okay. Must the text be durable? So this is the Shab 8 question, the question of disappearing ink. So we say that non-durable writing is only a derabanan. It doesn't qualify as writing in other areas of halacha. If you write a get with non-durable writing, it's not a valid get. And here we say it's a derabanan. If you take a look at Lamed Tes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh li zar, you should be careful. Don't write in liquids that are on the table using your finger. Don't write in ashes. There's your sign language question. The sign language is fine, but you're not supposed to make this writing on the table in the ashes or in the water. It's non-durable writing, and it is indeed a derabanan, and it's brought by everybody as in this way. Non-durable means it cannot last. If it is erasable, but it's still here, it's still aser midoraisa. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Source Mem, Ksiva be'et shel avar, writing with a lead pen, shakorin, whatever they're calling it, blyfetter, the chay of minatora. That is a deoraisa. Ditto, Rabbi Ribiat notes, the etch-a-sketch would be a deoraisa for the same reason. Yes, you can shake it and erase it, but it's not going to help you, because right now, it is indeed enduring. If it erases because you erase it, it is still durable, and the Gemara in Shabbos that we require, Malacha Shechiyotze Bamiskayem, is something which will normally survive, is it. And that explains according to Rabbi Ribiat, why putting the Cheerios together to form letters is a problem, even though they could be scattered. Because right now, here they are. Although, again, we're going to see other views that say, no, it has to be locked in. We've already referred to them. But I think that's the grounds for what he says. What about if the intent, though, from the beginning is for the writing to be erased, but it requires an act of erasure? What do you do then? So the simple read of the sources that we've just seen indicates it's still a problem of kosev. Right, like tying a knot, which would last, left to its own devices. However, take a look at this Rambam in Source Mem Beis. Coloring is only if it is durable. But if it doesn't last at all, you put rouge, you put some kind of a dye on iron or on copper, and you dye it. Potter. Those words are the problem, the words I just read. Literally translated, the Minchas Chinuch thinks that it means, because you remove it after a brief period of time, that's not called soveya. That's the way the Minchas Chinuch reads it. The Minchas Chinuch is horrified. He says, what do you mean? I don't understand. It can't be. The fact that you're going to erase it doesn't matter. You wrote something. So the Minchas Chinuch says, yeah, that wasn't really what the Rambam meant. What the Rambam really meant, if you look at the last line in Mem Gimel, Ela Barur Didavka in Me'atzmo Eino Miskayem. Rambam is talking about a dye that will not last. Kamo Kosev Mashkin, like writing with liquids. Then what do his words mean? So he writes earlier in, Efshar Shigras Lashon Hu. He's writing Shigra to Lishna. I'm surprised. I don't know what to do with this Minchas Chinuch. Because I think the answer is, look at the word Ma'avir in Source Mem Beis. The Rambam used it twice. The kigon sheheevir srako sheshar gabe barzel ashrayata maaviro l'shato. In other words, lahavir doesn't mean to remove. Lahavir is the application. He's saying you applied this stuff on the iron, and you're applying it only l'shato temporarily. And then I found that in the Minchas Asher, so I was very happy. The Minchas Asher in Source Mem Dalid says this as well. He says that's what the Rambam meant, and he goes on to say though that it's all about intent. And he says that for knots, and he says that for writing as well. And so in Source Mem Dalid he says Hakol Taloi Ba'Ofen Asiyas Hamalacha. If by what you see when you actually, when the person is writing, you can tell that it's a temporary writing. That's what people do, rak lizman, temporarily. Then it's a non-durable writing. Kosher, just like regarding knots, regarding weaving, he says, it's clear that it's a temporary type of writing.
So why did that apply to the Cheerios?
That it's clear that it's only temporary? I would think so. And that's my question, is the Etch-a-Sketch. Now, that's yes, I was going to come back to that. So I don't know what to do with the Etch-a-Sketch, according to this. It would seem to me that people know that an Etch-a-Sketch is temporary, even though the kid is going to cry and scream when you erase his drawing. Right? Because he's just made the greatest drawing in the history of civilization.
You know, the sibling will erase the drawing very quickly.
Also true. And then they'll really cry and scream.
What about that game, the Gates of, what do you call it?
Settlers of Catan?
Yeah. They're also going to be taken apart.
No, not necessarily. Those can last hours.
Years.
72 hours, no problem. We have to talk about time frame in a moment.
What about makeup?
Right.
So the intent is not keeping on permanent.
So the question is a little bit about length of time, but keep in mind that you still may have a derabanan. Even by Eino Miskayim, you're still dealing with a derabanan. The only utility of this is like the tzarech cases, the doctor and so on. But it's still asumi derabanan. Yeah, Adam.
Rav's point here that if you take rouge and put it on metal, it's just not permanent.
Yes.
So that's not an issue of kavana. That's just the reality. You cannot permanently color.
Correct. His point is not predicated on the Rambam per se at all. His point is a broader point.
Then fine, but then the Rambam sounds like that's not the point. The point is not your kavana. The point is the reality.
I mean, he does end up in this piece going back to read it into the Rambam. He thinks that's the Rambam's kavana as well.
Okay.
But it's independent. It stands as an independent point.
Because that's just something people do. Sometimes people temporarily color Barzel rouge.
Yeah, because they want to scare off demons. I don't know, because they want to make a sign saying Shalom Zohar is here. The 8:45, 10:15, or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So how much? How long does this have to last in order to qualify as Kosev De'oraisa?
So the Rosh Hashanah candle is Derabanan.
Oh boy, that's a whole other discussion.
Right, I'm saying, because it lasts forever.
Right.
It doesn't last forever. It lasts for months at a time. If you leave it, it'll last forever.
Yeah. If you don't, good question.
Because it's ink. It's not... Right. It's ink, which is collected magnetically. It's not a screen.
Right, the whole e-ink discussion.
It was not at that point. It's real. It's ink. It's not a screen.
So, how long does it have to last to be kosev de'oraisa? So, in general, the Rambam's view on malacha is that it has to last through Shabbos. And this is a classic distinction that I'm just going to do very quickly. The Mishnah quoted in Memhei, where the Mishnah says, Kol ha'osem malacha umalachto miskayemes b'shabbos chayav. So, you have machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam about how to read that sentence. The way Rashi reads it is, Kol ha'osem malacha b'shabbos umalachto miskayemes. If you do malacha on Shabbos and the malacha endures, and he doesn't tell you how long it has to endure, because Rashi just means that it's the type of malacha that we generally keep. The Gemar Malacha. That's why Rashi reads the line. You are chayav mi de'oraisa if you do a type of malacha that people ordinarily keep. The Rambam, though, says no. Kol ha'osa malacha, if you do malacha, umalachto miskayemes b'shabbos, and the malacha endures through Shabbos. As seen in source Mem Zayin. That's the position of the Rambam. And so the Shaar HaTzion actually says that that's the way to read it. According to Rashi, you are chayav if your writing lasts. According to the Rambam, it just needs to survive Shabbos. Within Rashi, I don't know how long it has to last. It has to be the type of writing that you keep. That's really all that I need. The Shaar HaTzion is there in Nun. It's Mem Ches, Mem Tes Nun. You see that. Whereas the Rambam will say, even if it lasts through Shabbos, Magid Mishnah also on this Rambam says that's where he gets it from.
Your Rubo Kukul is also probably just more than half a day.
No, we will not apply that. No. No. The Archa Shabbos in Perek Tesvav Ha'armem Zion thinks that you could read the Rambam to side with Rashi. Have fun. Nobody I've ever seen has managed to circle that square. So what if I don't follow the Rambam's view? Right? What if I don't follow the Rambam's view? What if I say it's not about lasting through Shabbos? Or what if Kosev has a different standard? Because the Mishnah regarding Kosev didn't say that. Rather, it said, source Nun Aleph, ubechol davar shehu roshein. You make any mark. That's all it said. It didn't say anything about Miskayim and lasting through Shabbos. So three different views. Rav Yitzchak Weiss, the Menchas Yitzchak, not writing in Menchas Yitzchak, he's writing Halacha Refua, but he's quoted in the Nishmas Avram in Nun Beis, tells you, Miskayim al kopanim yom echad. One day, 24 hours. It is meaningful work, right? Because you want to make sure that they won't be forgotten. That's your De'oraisa. That's the position of Rav Yitzchak Weiss. The Bir Halacha quotes the Rashba in Source Nun Gimel, who just says, Zman Echad. So it doesn't have to be durable, it just has to be Zman Echad. I don't know if that's Chorev Zman, I don't know if that's Chorev Zman in a leap year, I don't think it has anything to do with the semester. I don't know what Zman Echad is at all. And then you get this line in the Nishmas Avram, in Source Nun Daled. The Kasav Li Agon Rishlom Zaman Orbach Zatzal Shemuter Af Im Aksav Mistayim Shlosha Or Arba'a Yamim. Even if it lasts 3 or 4 days, I don't know what you're talking about. If it's 3 days, then why did you say four? And if it's four, why did you say three? And where did you get either one? So I emailed him. I didn't understand what you're talking about. So look at the answer he gave me. And then, hey, again, it's part of an email, and I caution not to paskin anything from it. But he says, I do not know of any specific source. But I guess that the Rav Zatzal's time frame was because at the time efforts were being made to produce ink that would disappear after 72 hours, Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. And hence the 3 or 4 days. In other words, it could be that it's longer. As long as it's meant to not last forever, that's good enough. I don't know like what your cap is, but that's that was his answer to me. Okay. What if the letter comes and goes? So we have to talk about that. That's going to be the book discussion, which we're getting to in a bit. What if, I'm not even sure why I put it in here in this place, but all right. What if it makes no mark or a non-durable mark right now, but it could be developed into a permanent mark later? The other end of our invisible ink discussion. We discussed the question already of, is it writing when you develop the ink? But what about when you actually put the mark on that can't be read right now at all? So the Rambam tells you, it's in Source Nun Vav, that it has to be something that makes a mark on a material in order for you to be chayav. So the Avnei Nezer in Orach Chaim, Reish Gimel, says, text which will be absorbed in paper is fully called writing. He believes it's called miskayim because it can be produced again, and even though right now it's not legible. The Rambam doesn't sound like that. But that's what the Avnei Nezer writes. What if it's not durable on Shabbos because you write just before Shabbos ends and the ink doesn't dry until after Shabbos? What about then? It's a fanciful question. I only mention it because it's fascinating. The Menchas Chinuch, did I bring you the Menchas Chinuch on here? Yeah, the Menchas Chinuch in is that the one I wanted? Yes, it is. That is the one I wanted. You know what? I skipped the line. I'm sorry. What if there's no mark at all ever? Not that it can be developed later. There's no mark at all. So the Shulchan Aruch, which I brought you here in Zion, says Mutar Lirshom B'Tziporin Al HaSefer. You're allowed to make a mark on a book with your fingernail. So I want to make sure that I'm going to see this after Shabbos. So I'm going to just make an indentation. Ain't it davar miskayim? He says that's okay. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, that's the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that's parchment in Nun Ches. Davka b'klaf hakasha. That's only parchment because parchment isn't as soft as paper. Is the but he says if it's paper he doesn't allow it. This used to come up in my shul that I grew up in. They used to do they used to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah during the silent Shemoneh Esrei, right, as many do, and the rabbi would get up before Musaf and tell people, you have to know where to pause while you wait for me. And so he would talk to them about making a little mark on the paper or folding the paper over, and that way you would know. Now there, yeah, I don't think it was going to last. I don't think it was a durable mark. So maybe it's only the Rabbana. But that's, are you allowed to in fact make such a mark on your maaser on Shabbos or Yom Tov? It's an interesting question. But okay, that brings me to the question of a computer screen. But that's going to be in the shir that I'm going to record later. We're not getting to that obviously this morning.
Would that be a problem turning a page over on a sitter, bending a page?
So yeah, that would be the question of folding it over. Are you making a mark? And there it's not your intent at all to make a mark. That's not what you're trying to do. The last point that I'm going to get to is this question of what if it's not durable on Shabbos because you write just before Shabbos ends and the ink doesn't dry until after Shabbos. The Menchas Chinuch in Source Nun Tes says Potter. He says that's not an issue. He notes the Chalkas Mechokek, quoting the Mordechai regarding a get, and there we say that if the get is given while the ink is still wet, it's not called durable. So he says the same thing is going to be true here. It's like if you put something in the oven before Shabbos ends, but it doesn't bake until after Shabbos is over. He says it's not a doraisa. Rav Asher Weiss disagrees. Because he says baking and cooking are about producing a baked or cooked product. You're not liable until the item exists. Writing is about the action that leads to durable text. And the act of writing was done right now. You just need time for the ink to dry. So therefore, he says that you would be chayiv already right now. That leads to the obvious question. What if you wrote it, it didn't dry yet, and then somebody came along and erased it? Did he save you from violating a malacha or not? When it comes to cooking, the answer is yes, he saved you from a malacha. That's the discussion in Shabbos. But that will be an interesting question. Do we have 5 minutes to do the letter on the side of the page in the book, or should I just leave that for the recording? If you have to go, then go. Don't feel like you have to stay. What about a letter that's regularly taken apart and rejoined? So this is our big discussion for which I bring you the pre-show. We already have seen the Rama, right? We know the view of the Rama on this. Moving parts of letters further apart, closer together is fine on Shabbos. We know the Mamar Mordechai and the Abbe Nezer were not fine with this idea. So we've seen the two poles on that front. And then we have the position of the pre-show. The Prisha, which I brought you in, source Samach, says the following. He says, the book is meant to be opened and closed. And therefore, it's like a door. When you open and close the door to a house, that's not bone net. That's not an act of construction or destruction. That's what the Prisha says. What in the world did he mean? So the simple meaning is that this has nothing to do with the durability of the letters, but the definition of writing. If the book is meant to be opened and closed, then closing it so the letters are visible is not an act of writing, because it's meant to be opened. They're not truly joined. That's the simple way to read it. The Mishnah Brura, which I brought you in Samach Aleph, seems to lump this in with the view of the Rama and the Taz, that distance between parts of letters don't matter. Right? But it's not, that's a very difficult thing to do. And the Rosh Hashanah notes that it's a very difficult thing to do. Because there's a big difference between the Prisha's view and the view of the Rama and the Taz. The view of the Rama and the Taz is that this is going to be mutter, even if it can only be done once. Moving things together is not an act of writing. The view of the Prisha is contingent on the fact that you can open and close and open and close and open and close. If you're going to close it such that you can't open it, then according to the Prisha, you're chayav. It's no longer like a door. According to the Rama and the Taz, you're going to be fine. The Chazon Ish has an entirely different take on the Prisha. He says it's about the durability of the writing. He says it's all about the durability. He says when it comes to the door analogy is meaningless. Because construction is about joining things. Writing isn't about joining things. So he says that's not what the Prisha means. What the Prisha means is that the writing is not miskayemis. It's not durable writing. And he says the Prisha is okay with it because the Prisha believes in this idea of the Psik Resha and the double Derabanan. He says that it's Mekalkel and it's not your intent, and I'm not Mekalkel. Erasure would be it's not your intent and it's Mekalkel. And Ksiva would be it's not miskayemes. So therefore, he says it's a psikresha with a double derabanan. And then the Chazon Ish, this is in Samach Aleph Beis, in the Chazon Ish, says I don't have a heter to permit psikresha with a double derabanan, and therefore I don't follow this prisha. But the Aruch HaShabbos goes back to the joining approach. He says the Chazon Ish doesn't really fit the Prisha's words. And it's true, it doesn't really fit the Prisha's words. Rather, he says, the issue really is joining. If the book is regularly opened and closed, then opening and closing it doesn't bind them together, and that's why this is considered to be okay, even though you're right that this isn't really like construction. He says that's the way to read it. And he is willing to use that in practice to explain at last Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Right? I've quoted them now multiple times. Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman say that when I form a letter using particles, right, or if I take two letters and I put them side by side, but they're not in a frame, it's not called kosev. Why? He says because of this prisha. that joining is actually needed. And that's why Rav Moshe is okay with putting digits together on a page sign, right? As long as they're not in a frame together. And that is why Rav Shlomo Zalman says joining parts of a picture is a problem only if they actually join as in a frame. So the Rosh Hashanah says if you have pieces at the same place via a magnet, there's an example of not needing a frame, it's also going to be a problem. Whereas Rabbi Ribiad, on the other hand, clearly rejects this approach because he thinks that putting Cheerios together is an issue. So he's on a different boat. But that's that will be the difference between the views, and that will be the origin of the idea that they have to be held by something like the Scrabble frame or whatever it is in order to be chayav. There's much more to say. I'm planning on recording a shiur dealing with maybe some mochik issues, dealing with food and writing, dealing with some of the high tech discussion, the computer screen, and so on. And God willing, when I do that, whenever that is, I will send out a link for people to download.